So, hello, how's everybody doing this evening? That's good to hear. Last few weeks, God has been putting something in my heart and in my spirit, and it has to do with heart, with the heart. So, I love starting off every teaching I do. I love starting it off with a question. This one might be kind of silly, but it's a still question. What is a heart? Like, it's kind of funny because I even typed it in the Google search, and no definition came out. Like, of course you know what a heart is. It's a thing in our body that keeps us alive. It pumps blood through us, right? Am I wrong? No? No? Yes? Right. But then I looked it up, and I went a little bit further in. I was like, heart was the actual definition. I typed in heart definition. And then it started giving me some definitions. And it said, the heart regarded as the center of a person's thoughts and emotions. And then in the next definition down, it said, courage and enthusiasm. All right? Then the next definition said, the central or the innermost part of something. There's great. I was like, oh, this is going. I started getting excited. I was like, this is what I was thinking that heart meant. Then I looked it up in the Greek and the Hebrew. I cannot pronounce either one of them. But in the Greek, it means the vital part or essence of something. And in Hebrew, it means the inner man. In the Bible, heart is used over 800 times, according to this little Bible study thing I was reading about heart, where it says the Hebrew, where I look online for the Hebrew means, it told me about how many times it's used in the Bible. It said about 800 times, but it is never in reference to the physical heart, the blood pumping machine that we have. It's never in reference to that. So the main verse we're gonna stay with for this thing is Proverbs 23:26. And it says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." In other versions, observe would change to be delight in my ways. Let your eyes delight in my ways. Then I started, but like, if you think about it, why does God want our hearts? Why? Like, why does he want our hearts first? Well, the Bible tells us that our hearts, the human heart is evil, wicked. In Genesis 6:5, we'll just go through them real quick. I don't want to spend too much time on this part. It says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously." Then Genesis 8:21 says, "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever strike down every living creature as I've done.'" And Jeremiah 17:9 also. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it?" But I want to focus on the good. It says right here, Proverbs 23:26. It says, "My son, give me your heart." And I need to make more room. It says, "Give me your heart." And in Proverbs, it's from Solomon. Solomon is writing through his wisdom. And wisdom is another name for Jesus Christ. So in other words, this is really saying, Jesus is saying to you, "Give me your heart." Not Solomon. Solomon's not asking for your heart. Jesus is. So. I don't know if you guys were confused or not. There's three parts to this proverb, this verse. There's a relationship, a request, and a requirement. Requirement. The relationship, it says, my son. He's saying that to everyone. Everyone he created. Anything he created, but let's focus on anyone he created. If he created you, you're his son or daughter. So, were you guys created by God? Yes, you were, because you're here right now. And if you need some verses so I could prove to you that we're created in him, that he's our father. This is for in him, this is Acts 17:28. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. And in Galatians 3:26, it says, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. So there's some proof that you are created by God and you are his son or daughter. All right, so that was the first one. That was the relationship. The relationship is... the relationship is with the son. The father and the son. Let me go back to... All right, the father and son relationship. Child. Let's just use a child and... father and child relationship. All right? The second one. The second part is the request. It's God is asking us to give him our hearts. It says right there, give me your heart. But if we look back and remember the definitions we said earlier, is that he wants us, ourselves, our emotions, our hurts, our anything that that's inside of us, anything we feel, he wants it. And this kind of proves that he says, give me your heart. It kind of proves that how much he loves us. That he set out to look for us and then ask for our heart, our love. And if you think about it, it's just like those romantic movies you guys love to watch. The guy travels through... I can't remember the most recent one I watched. But the guy travels through... He goes and... I can't remember any movie now. But you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Where it's raining and the guy's running outside and he goes, but I love you. I love you. I want your heart. I came through looking through everywhere. I looked through all that stuff, but I want you. I went through hell. I went through war. I went all this, but I want you. This is the exact same thing. This is even better. He went to hell for our love. He went to hell and back for and asked for our heart and our love. I didn't write that down, but that's pretty good. Proverbs, the third one, requirement is what he wants is our heart. Proverbs 15:8 and Proverbs 28:9, in summary, it basically tells us that we could have all the talents, we could have all the money, but if he doesn't have our hearts, it means nothing to him. That even right here, which one? This is right here, Proverbs 28:9. If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. If your heart's not with God, it it's said that he kind of won't listen to the prayer. It's kind of hard to listen to hear. And it checked me. It did. It was like, but God wants our hearts first. And with our hearts, he wants us. And then with our hearts, everything else falls in line. And there's another passage I want to share with you guys. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 28. I'm going kind of fast. But just going to do a little commercial. With this new program we have, it's called Proclaim. And if you have a smartphone or a tablet or something like that, whatever, if you download the Study Bible app, it will send you the scriptures that we put up here directly to your phone, and it will automatically come out. It's really neat. I think it's, and it'll let you save the whole session for later, so you'll have all the scriptures on your phone when you go home and stuff like that. So it's just really neat. Okay, so that's commercial aside. Now let's go to Ezekiel 36:26 through 28. It says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit and put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So, in this one, I'm going to make 4 points about it. We read before in Proverbs that God wants our hearts. Yes, okay. But why? Why? Why does he want our hearts? Right? Are we all wondering that? All right. He wants our hearts in order to exchange them. All right, let's focus on there. Ezekiel 36:26. It says, let's read it again. It says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And if you notice, it says, give you a new heart. It doesn't say I'll patch up your old one. He's not going to patch up your old broken heart, your old, like, it's, we've all faced some broken hearts and all that stuff. But it says right here that he'll give us a new heart. New heart. And it's awesome because when you patch up clothes, it's good for some time, but then eventually the patch comes off. Right? It might get you a few extra, months out of that. Say if you rip your pants. That's a good one. Do I say pants weird? Sometimes I feel like I say pants weird. Say if you rip your pants. And you put a patch on it. It's going to last for a few months, but eventually it's going to fall off. Versus getting a new pair of pants, which is going to last you maybe, if you get a good pair of pants, a few years. So so he won't patch it up. He just give us a new one. All right, the second part, in verse 27, we'll read it, and then I'll say, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That is the verse, right? Yeah. He wants our hearts in order to empower them, to give them power. Yeah. His spirit is going to power our new hearts. And because his spirit dwells in us, He will help us walk in ways that is pleasing to Him. That will be the cause you, because it causes you. His Spirit will cause you to walk in His statutes. And because He dwells in us, He will help us walk in ways that please Him. The third part, verse 28. I don't know if we read 28, but it's going to be up there. It says, "You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." So the third reason, why does He want our hearts? It's because He wants to establish them, give them a firm foundation. Our hearts, like the Jewish people, have been wandering. But just like the Jewish people, our hearts are going to find their homes. When our hearts are steadfast on the Lord, when they're established with the Lord, things don't bother us the way they used to. Psalms 112:7 says, "He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord." So when you give your heart to the Lord, things start changing, and things that bothered you before doesn't bother you. Bad news doesn't bother you anymore. And in Hebrews 13:8-9, it says, "Well, yeah, okay, if I trust Jesus, why would it be established?" It's because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. "And do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them." So because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever, we can have our steadfast trust on Him. Yeah. And we won't be shaken. Yeah. We won't be shaken by that bad news, because Jesus Christ is our foundation. Ezekiel 36:28 says, "You shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." The fourth reason, I know it's the same verse, is the fourth reason is because He wants to enrich our hearts. Yeah. Like how Johnny said on Sunday, our hearts are the soil. And with an enriched soil, you produce fruit. The seed will grow. And if you notice in the second half, it says, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Why is that a good thing? Because we belong to Him. It's good news because we belong to God. He is ours, and we are His, and He is ours. And because we are His, because we have His inheritance, because we belong to the all-creating Father, we have some benefits. And if you want to read the benefits, just go to the next verse that right after that. Ezekiel 36:29-30. It says, "I will deliver you from all your uncleanness." That's good already. "And I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations." But that's good news. That's good news. when I read this, I got excited because this, God wants our hearts to enrich them. And it says right there, uncleanliness, gone. Abundant grain, some versions say corn. I don't like corn, but I think I like grain. A lot of good stuff come from grain, so I'm okay with that. And the fruits from trees are good. And in Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Amen. So when we belong to Him, when our hearts belong to Him, all these things align. I'm going to read a quick story to you guys. It's called Just the Way You Are. When I first read this, it destroyed me. Like, it wrecked me. It made me cry. I'm not going to lie. It is a children's book. And I was reading it to Alisana, but I think I got more from it than she did. But it's okay. I felt like I should share with you guys. Right? It's just the way you are. Right? And a long time ago, in a land much like your own, there was a village. In the village lived 5 orphans, a lonely family of fatherless children. They had banded together against the cold. One day, the king learned of their misfortune and decided to adopt them. He announced that he would be their father and that would come for them soon. When the children learned that they had a new father and their father was the king and that the king was coming to visit, they went wild with excitement. When the people of the village learned that the children had a father and the father was the king and the king was coming to the village, they were excited as well. They went out to see the children and told them what to do. "You need to impress the king," they explained. "Only those with great gifts to give will be allowed to live in the castle." The people didn't know the king. They just thought all kings wanted to be impressed. So the children began preparing gifts to offer the king. They worked long and hard to be sure the king would approve. One of the children who knew how to carve decided to give a king a wonderful work of wooden art. He set his knife against the soft bark and elm and whittled, and small blocks of wood came alive with eyes of sparrows and the noses of horse. Nose of horse. Horses have one nose. His sister decided to present the king with a painting that captured the beauty of the heavens, a painting worthy to be hung on in his castle. Another sister chose music as a way to impress the king. For long hours, she practiced with her voice and mandolin. The village people would stop at her window and listen as her music took wings and soared. Yet another child set out to turn the king's head with his wisdom. Late hours would find his candle and his books open. Geography, math, chemistry. The breadth of his study was matched only by the depth of his desire. Surely a king would appreciate all his knowledge. But there was one sister who had nothing to offer. Her hand was clumsy with the knife. You guys know what I'm saying. Her fingers stiff with the brush. The little girl opened her mouth to sing. The sound was hoarse. She wasn't much of a reader. She believed she had no talent. That she believed that she had no gift. All she had to offer was her heart. For her heart was good. She spent her time at the city gates, watching people come and go. She would earn pennies to buy food and her brothers and sisters, to buy food for her brothers and sisters by grooming people's horses or feeding their animals. She was a simple stable girl. But she had a good heart. She knew the beggars by name. She took time to pet each dog. She welcomed home the travelers and greeted the strangers. "How was your journey?" she would ask. "Tell me what you learned on your visit. How is your husband? Do you enjoy your new work?" She was full of questions for people because her heart was big and she cared about people. They were all the same to her, the beggars, the rich. She cared for all just the way they are, were. But the little girl thought she had no talent and no gift. She was afraid that the king would be disappointed. She remembered the villager's advice and set her mind to the task of making a gift for the king. She took a small knife and went to her brother, the carver. "Could you teach me to carve?" she asked. "Sorry," the young craftsman responded, without looking up. "I have much work to do. I haven't have time for you. The king is coming, you know." The girl put her knife away and picked up a brush. She went to her sister, the artist. She found her on a hill painting on a sunset on a painting a sunset on a canvas. "You paint so beautifully," she said. The girl, who had no gift but a big heart. "I know," the painter answered. "Could you share your gift with me?" "Not now," the sister responded with eyes on her palette. "The king is coming, you know." The girl with no gift then remembered her other sister, the one with the song. "She will help me," she said. When she arrived at her sister's house, she found a crowd of people waiting to listen to her sister sing. "Sister," she called. "Sister, I've come to listen and learn." But her sister couldn't hear. The noise of the applause was too loud. With a heavy heart, the girl turned and walked away. Then she remembered her other brother, who she took a book with small words and big letters and went to see him. "I have nothing to offer the king," she said. "Could you teach me to read so I might show him my wisdom?" The young sage-to-be didn't speak. He was lost in thought. The child with no gift spoke again. "Could you help me? I have no talent." "Go away," said the scholar, scarcely moving his eyes from the text. "Can't you see I'm preparing myself for the coming of the king?" And so the girl went away sadly. She had nothing to give. She returned to her place at the city gates and took upon her task caring for people's animals. After some days, a man in merchant's clothes came to the small town. "Can you feed my donkey?" she asked the girl. The orphan jumped to her feet and looked into the brown face of the man who had traveled far. His skin was leathery from the sun, and his eyes were deep. His kind smile warmed the girl's heart. "That I can," she answered eagerly, leading to the animal to the throw. "Trust me to him. When you return, he will be groomed and fed." "Tell me," she asked, as the donkey drank. "Have you come to stay?" "Only for a while. I'm looking for someone." "Are you weary from your journey?" "That I am." "Would you like to sit and rest?" the girl motioned to the bench near the wall. The tall man sat on the bench, leaned against the wall, and closed his eyes and slept. After a few minutes, he awoke and found the girl sitting at his feet, watching his face. She was embarrassed that he had caught her staring. She turned away. "Have you been sitting there long?" "Yes." What do you seek?" "Nothing. You seem to be a kind man with a peaceful heart. It's good to be near you." The man smiled and stroked his beard. "You are a wise girl," he said. "When I will return, we will visit more." The man did return quite soon. "Did you find the ones you were seeking?" The girl asked. "I found them, but they were too busy for me." "What do you mean?" "The first one I came to see was a woodsmith rushing to complete a project. He told me to return tomorrow. The other was an artist. I saw her sitting on a hillside, but people below said she did not want to be disturbed. The other was a musician. I sat with the others and listened to her music. When I asked to talk with her, she told me she had no time. The other I saw had left. He had moved to the big city to go to school." The girl's eyes widened as she realized who the man was. "But you don't look like a king," she gasped. "I try not to," he explained. "Being a king can be lonely. People act strangely around me. They ask for favors. They try to impress me. They try to bring me all their complaints." "But isn't that what a king is for?" asked the girl. "Certainly," responded the king. "But there are times where I just want to be with my people. There are times when I just want to talk to my people, to hear about their day, to laugh a bit, to cry some. There are some times where I just want to be their father." "Is that why you adopted the children?" "That's why Is that why you adopted the children? That's why. Adults think they have to impress me. Children don't. They just want to talk to me. They know that I love them just the way they are. But my brothers and sisters were too busy. They were. But I'll come back. Maybe they'll have more time another day. The girl hesitated. Sir, what about me? I have no gift, but I would like to be your child. The king smiled. My dear, you gave the best gift of all. You gave me your heart, your kindness, your time, your love. Of course you'll be my child. I love you just the way you are. And it so happened that the child with many talents, but no time, missed the visit of the king, while the girl whose only gift was the gift of her heart became the child of the king. That's the end of the book. Now, I was like, when I first read that, I've get busy. Like, the first part that hit me was, yeah, sometimes I get busy with the music, with the projector stuff, with the sound stuff. I get busy. And I forget to just spend time with the Lord. Because what he wants, he all that could be stripped away, and all he wants is our hearts, and he'll be even more glad than if our hearts weren't in it. And giving our hearts can be hard. It is hard. Because it takes faith to give everything you are to something maybe that you can't see, that maybe you don't understand. It is hard, but we have to step out in faith and give our hearts to the Lord. So I'm pretty sure everybody in here we have all given our hearts to the Lord, right? But let me ask you this. Have you given your heart to the Lord today? Because it's a daily thing. We have to give our hearts to the Lord daily. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That's not the one. That's the right scripture, but that's not the one I wanted to. All right. Well, it's in Hebrews, and it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, my mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Romans. I put Hebrews 12:1. Romans 12. Yeah. Okay. Romans 12:1. Sorry about that. But present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I wrote down the right thing, I just wrote down the wrong verse. As a holy sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. That's the first part that's weird because it's not up there. I don't know why I keep looking up. It's a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. It's living because it's daily. It's continual. And sometimes it may feel that we have very little to give to God. Sometimes I feel like that I have very little to give to God. But like the book said, the best gift that we could give him is our hearts. All of us have a heart. Doesn't matter if you have a pacemaker, you still have a heart. He will exchange it, empower, and establish it. Exchange it, empower, establish it, and enrich it. So daily we need to ask God to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew my right spirit within me. A new heart and a new spirit within me. When we do that, like I said earlier, things start aligning. stuff starts aligning in our lives, in our walk, and stuff like that. Sorrow gets turned to joy. Sickness to healing. Brokenhearted again to healing. Sorrow to dancing. Did I already say that? Sorrow to joy. And he turns anything negative to positive. And so I just ask you guys to give our hearts continually to the Lord every single day. Sometimes we might have to do it multiple times a day. But it's something that we could ask and continually do. Create in me a new heart, a renew right spirit within me.
Hallelujah. We heard a message recently that said that this is a year of recalibration, of calibration, and it's aligning our hearts and our lives with God. And it's just like every day we need to align ourselves with God, and we do that through fellowship with Him, through prayer, through reading the Word, you know, because we live in an imperfect world. We live in a dirty world. We live where there's negative, you know, the majority of people we meet in life are negative. And when we spend time with the Lord and give Him our heart, give Him our time, give Him our love, our time of fellowship with Him, it aligns us. You know, it aligns us and everything comes out right. Amen? That's a good, good message, Peter. Thank you. Well, Lord, is there any special prayer request to bring to the Lord before we dismiss? Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word that came forth tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we will be continually reminded to worship you and praise you and give you our time, give you our heart, give you our attention, Father. We just pray that we will lay aside the busyness of this world to spend time just loving you in your presence. And Lord, I just thank you for blessing this people, Lord, blessing everyone here, blessing our family that's out tonight, Lord, with your presence, with your anointing, with an excitement about the things of God. We thank you, Lord, that this is a time of turnaround. We thank you, Lord, for turning situations around to be a blessing and a stability to your people. We thank you, Lord, for bringing the natural supply, bringing jobs, bringing homes, bringing vehicles, Lord, to those that are in need. And we just thank you, Lord, for bringing lost loved ones home where there has been hearts that have drifted away from God and our families. We thank you, Lord, that they're coming home. They're coming home to you. They're coming home to their families, Lord. We just thank you that this is a time of reconciliation between people, between children and parents, and we just thank you, Lord, for peace in the marriages, and where there's been strife, we pray, Lord, that peace will reign, that there will be reconciliation and peace will reign in couples, in families, Lord, and the children that's lost and walking away from you. We thank you, Lord, that they're coming home. They're coming home. Their hearts are returning to the Lord and to their families. And we just thank you, Father, that this is a time where adjustments and changes are being made in every one of our lives to bring us to that place of total peace and alignment with the Lord, that your will may be done in our lives the way it is in heaven. And we thank you for it, Father God. You are awesome. Amen.